Hey everybody, this is Spike Ferriston from Spike's Car Radio. We're out here in the porch of at the Malibu Kitchen at the Malibu Country Mart every weekend doing podcasts. My first guest is Jerry Seinfeld. He's right here. We're going to have Jeremy Piven. We're going to have Chris Hardwick. See you soon on Spike's Car Radio.
I think he's over-projecting for a podcast.
And I love to over-project for podcasts. Join me every week at PodcastOne.com and Apple Podcasts.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend.
So I forgot
that about you.
Yes, yeah. We do indeed. I forgot to ask you how Spaz was.
Dr. Spaz.
Yeah.
He's improving.
Good. Did he talk about the weekly infusion, as fun he's having with me doing that?
He did.
Okay.
He's, you know, it's interesting that I try to tell people all the time, like, you're never done learning or getting better or improving. It's a constant evolving. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a good thing. And get a lot of why you hassling me. But it's not.
Does Bruce do that?
No.
No.
Probably not anymore.
Yeah.
He probably had a decade of why you riding me or why you getting on me or why you hassling me. And now he's in a, hey, I think I'll get better at this thing I've chosen to do.
I think I calmed him down a little bit, too. I mean,
yeah.
He's a little afraid of you. But I thought I was thinking the other day, again, I got all my great thinking in the shower. You and I have had a long relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like since 1995, I'd say, right?
Yep.
And then I thought, oh, my God, I've been like even longer with Bruce, like 8-10 years maybe longer or something crazy like that. I think I first met him in the 80s. Isn't
yeah.
that weird?
I guess so. The weird part is I've known Bruce, you know, I probably met him 2 years after I met you.
Yeah.
I mean, he used to play on the Blue Top when we'd play basketball games over at the party house.
Yeah.
Where you brought your two young sons.
Yeah.
And
we built a car, a little Max, a little, what do they call those things? Those
I get confused with the soapbox
yeah.
and the gravity, whatever.
Yeah.
But the little, this is the little miniature one, not the ones you crawl into. I could remember as a kid, when I was a kid, probably the height of the soapbox derby or the sort of coaster cars that everyone built, you know, I don't know, put on. I think they ran it in like Indiana or some. They had some place, like a national thing.
People have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, there's a couple things.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about, but I know that people will not know what this is.
It was a big deal, this go-kart championship where they would coast down the hill.
They'd put a wheels on apple crates.
Cincinnati?
Essentially, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, not on apple crates.
But they got sort of weird. You know,
well, they got super aerodynamic and all that.
Yeah.
And I just kind of remember it was a big deal, and I remember just looking at it, and there would be articles and, you know, even, you know, Life magazine and stuff, and they would show, you know, these pictures of these guys going down the thing,
yeah,
and the kids were ducked down.
Soapbox Derby, it's called.
And it was great, but I remember, and here's how you know you've had the life removed from you as a 10-year-old. I remember going, like, who are these rich and exotic international playboys and their fathers? You know, who?
Yeah.
How does this work?
I kind of felt like they were from another country or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, like a different culture.
You know, it's like, well, what happens? Well, my dad bought the kit.
Yeah.
Then what? Well, we went in the garage.
When you traveled somewhere with this
and
thing?
Every night, yeah. Well, he has a little trailer. It's not
what?
A full-size trailer. And it's like, what? And they put it in the car? Well, you know, you're there for less than a week. What do you say? A hotel. You know, like these crazy. And I just remember like looking at it going, how does this work? And there's a very famous story. I went and researched this guy a little bit. Max Pata may remember. Remember we researched this guy when we went to Laguna Seca, I think, to do some event? Somebody put a magnet, in the nose of their car, electromagnet, powerful magnet, so that when the gate dropped, it pulled them forward. And they were able to sort of activate it by, like, pushing back in their seat or something, and then it pulled them. And I can't remember if the guy went off to start his own aerospace business or something. It's a very interesting story, but the guy cheated.
And is that cheating?
I think they would they would call it cheating. Other hand, that's a guy you want working for you, right?
Right, yeah.
The guy put the electromagnet just on the front nose
clever,
of the thing.
Yeah. I'd call that technology.
I kind of would too. And we talked about him, and I remember looking at it, but there's also a kind of a funny story that you've never even heard this one. We had a soapbox derby at my old hippie. Remember my free range hippie school when I was like in the third and fourth grade?
Yeah.
Remember those days?
The reason I'm saying it like that, I think I'm remembering this story, but keep going.
Well, tell me what you remember, because I don't think I've ever told you.
Was there a club or something that you were a part of and they did this thing?
Mm-mm.
Okay, then I don't remember. Go ahead.
The school was going to put this on at the old Los Angeles Zoo.
Oh, yeah.
The old zoo.
That's cool.
Was up in the hills.
Yeah, yeah.
And had just, if anyone has ever been to Los Angeles Zoo, it's like a main pathway. You go walking up, 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 up. Well, the old zoo is just abandoned. I don't even know what's there anymore.
It's still an abandoned, like, whatever.
And I guarantee you couldn't go up there and fuck around anymore, but we could. And you just go up there and just go all the way down the hill. And I remember it's when I kind of learned this lesson in life, which is everybody was going to build a soapbox. When I say everyone, I mean like four or five guys. There wasn't that many people.
This is one you rode in.
And we were going to go down.
Yeah.
We're going to go down the hill and we're going to race.
Yeah.
And everybody was sort of like, well, Adam's the favorite because he's the daredevil and he's the racer and he's the guy. I was the alpha male, so I was going to win the race.
Yeah.
But you can't really outmaneuver ball bearings.
Mm.
And what had happened was the big expense or the exotic thing for the soapbox in our world is wheels.
Right.
Who has wheels? Who's going to buy wheels?
Right.
You could go to the hardware store and they had those red wheels with the sleeve in it. Your father-in-law had those, I'm sure, for sale. And they had like the hard rubber on the outside and a ball bearing and a sleeve. And, well, they were $7 a piece or something like that. I mean, exotic, way out of whatever. So it's like, well, what were we going to do for wheels? Well, when race day came along, I'd built myself a cool little soapbox, stupid kind of nothing thing at school. My grandfather... who's going to help me with the axles
that's
and the wheels and stuff like that? And it can't be my mom or my dad
because
it's A, effort, B, dexterity, C, love. Like, I don't know what that is, but no way. But my grandfather was the good guy.
Right.
And my grandfather was hack handy. I just made that up. But he was a handy, hacky kind of guy. He just insisted on fixing his own stuff. Now you look at it, it just looked like junk. But he wanted to do it for himself.
Yeah.
And he came up with what I thought was a fairly, I thought at the time, and I still do, like a really smart axle setup. And the smart, what he did, it's funny.
Probably how they made carts in Hungary back in the day.
No, this is not it. And he was a writer, so he didn't do it. He sat in a coffee house and wrote.
Do you know where he grew up?
Place.
Not a farm or something?
No.
No, okay.
His dad owned an inn, a hotel, small bed and breakfast whatever it was.
That's cool.
He.
Did you want to go back and see that one?
Came up the, huh?
Do you ever want to go back and try to find that?
Or? No. Right. But I assume it doesn't exist, but I don't care. But he had this ingenious plan, which is he took a 3-foot galvanized by 3-quarter plumbing nipple, just like a straight piece of galvy pipe with threads on both ends. All right.
Yep, following.
Hollow in the middle. That you could screw a cap, a galvanized cap on each side. He drilled a hole in the galvanized cap on each side. And now you're curious, where would they get wheels?
Mm.
How do you get free wheels? You can't really get them at a garage sale, per se. Mm. It's not a free. We needed to get everything for free or secondhand or something, but wheels is tough. Okay.
Can't do it.
We had, at some point, an old gas lawnmower with those white plastic wheels on it.
Yeah.
The green one with the white plastic wheels on. And, of course, it was broken down. It didn't work. And it just sat rusting in the backyard. So Grandpa thought, well, this thing hasn't started in 5 years. It's junk anyway. So he pulled the wheels, which were plastic wheels with just a little like machine screw sort of axle, kind of smooth part and then threaded part. And he drilled a hole in the caps of these galvanized pipe, and he put the nut on the inside, and he screwed it on the outside.
Nice.
And then he put a hole through the middle of it, and you can kind of steer it with your feet.
Wow.
You know? And I thought it was pretty ingenious. The problem is my competition
had actual wheels.
Had wheels with ball bearings.
Yeah.
And the wheels with ball bearings were taken from shopping carts. They stole. Because you're like, how the other losers get their wheels? They stole shopping carts. They stole the wheels off the shopping cart. So these little white lawnmower wheels, which simply had a plastic hole in the middle of them and rode on a plastic smooth, on a metal smooth thing, compared to ball bearing wheels.
Couldn't keep up.
Not even close. Yeah. And that's when I learned my little, it's all in the wheels. But that's close
why
as I got.
Speaks so much about why you sit around and think about wheels all day now. That was a traumatic experience. I got to must have better wheels. Just think about wheels all day long now.
Not all day, but
checking out all the shopping carts.
No, it's car wheels now. Hey, I met a super fan of the show in Soho. I met super fan of the ACS show, but I've never met a super fan of this show.
Mm-hmm.
And he went on to say he listens to it every day. And of course, I forgot his name now, so I'd like to shout out to him. I met the guy going to the James Hotel in Soho. And he was very enthusiastic about this program.
Where you're in Soho.
Yeah.
He obviously recognized you.
Yeah.
Came up to you.
And I was in a hurry. I had to get to something. I feel bad, man, if you're listening now. I didn't have much time to spend with him. He was going to dinner and I was running to something. And but he was very nice and very complimentary about this show. It was nice.
Well, shout out to No Name, man. Thanks for listening.
Twitter me and I'll tweet me and we'll shout it back out next week.
All right. Tease a call, Drew.
I want to talk to you. Oh, my God.
It's funny.
Let's go to Sarah, who has 12-year-old twins and doesn't want to tell them they were conceived by IVF.
Ooh, and we'll do that right after I tell you about LifeLock. Wait a minute. That's how I got my 11-year-old twins.
That's how I got my triplets.
LifeLock. Don't be one-upper. LifeLock, man. Ever get that scary flashing pop-up virus alert?
No, never.
Probably a tech support scammer trying to get you to call their toll-free number and trick you into giving them remote access to your computer. Identity theft is America's fastest growing crime. That's why I have LifeLock. The family has it. The kids have it. Why not? If you have a social security number, you need LifeLock. Scans hundreds of millions of transactions each second. If they detect your info, they send you an alert. If you have a problem, their U.S.-based agents will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business, but LifeLock is the best protection available. Membership start at just $9.99 a month. It is LifeLock, Drew.
Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock. Use the promo code Adam. That is A-D-A-M, Adam, and you will get 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
All right. Sarah, 44, Wisconsin. Sarah?
Hi. How are you, Adam and Dr. Drew?
Good. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Great. Well, like you had said, I have 12-year-old twins. They were conceived by IVF, and I'm very thankful for that. The other part of the story is my husband had cancer as an infant, so it was actually donor sperm.
Ooh.
IVF.
That's interesting.
Well, that ups the ante a little bit.
Yeah.
I know. It does. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is, should you ever tell them? Should you tell them now? Is that what you're asking?
Exactly. That's exactly it, Dr. Drew.
Ooh.
Well, how did you – well, hold on. How did you – what was the selection process for the donor sperm?
You know –
she had sex with a whole bunch of dudes, and then okay, go ahead.
No, you know, when you're trying, it's, you know, you're so kind of desperate, And we knew all along that my husband didn't have sperm, so it was more like, get the catalog, let's just find.
I get it. What was the process? What were you looking for?
Tall, athletic, a little bit of like the heritage that my husband has.
Good.
But that wasn't like a deal breaker.
Meaning they ignored it.
Well, okay, so how far off of, when you look through the catalog, see pictures of the guy and the resume and everything?
Yes.
And
all I saw was childhood pictures. I think if you paid more, you could get more information.
Wow.
So it was like a level thing you could get more.
Interesting. So you see childhood pictures because you go, this is what your child may look like. I never even thought about that.
Also out of curiosity, did it translate to reality?
It did. It did for what I remember. You know, I looked at this probably last time, maybe when the kids were 2 and now they're 12.
Yeah.
So it was a curiosity thing.
But how much of was it there an eye toward going, honey, how tall are you? I'm 5'11". All right, well, let's keep it around there. I got brown eyes. Let's keep it around there. Okay. So it's not like the kids are going to be like, oh, boy, Danny... Daddy's right. Danny DeVito, and I'm Dolph Lundgren over here.
On the other hand, if they want to, you know, their genetic family history. I mean, by the time they're adults, we may have enough genetic testing that the actual history doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We'll just
right.
test their genetic profile, and that's their risk profile. That's it.
Right. And I do remember, you know, even from biology class, I did not. We didn't choose it by blood type, so technically. If they're really good in biology, I think they would be able to tell if they knew our blood.
You'd be
type.
Amazed the denial that people kick into when they're confronted with something
what
like that.
What do you got? How do your twins break down? Boy, girl. What do we have?
Boy, girl. Just like yours.
Boy,
animal.
Girl. Okay.
See, I would have been in favor of openness from the beginning, but the fact that it's not been really.
That's all right. Drew's
it, oh, it's
being
all right. No. I'm not. You know, being condemming in any way.
You got to save
That's
it.
That's a choice.
You save it. You save it.
Yeah.
Save it for when your son comes out as gay on Thanksgiving when he's 19, and then dad can fire out, good, what do I care? Tell it to the catalog, bitch.
Right.
That's what you save it for. You can't use it.
You use it as ammunition?
That's
so sociopathy develops. Like, yeah, I told you.
Yeah. That's what your daughter's going through whatever changes she's going through, and she's screaming, I wish I was never born. It's like, hey, man, that's what we're thinking.
Now, how about if she were to tell? Let's say there is a time to tell. Can we pick an optimum time?
The problem, noonish. Is that what you mean?
No, I mean age.
Next week?
Age.
Okay, here's the thing.
Late 20s.
I'm a sort of never person. With this kind of stuff, I believe it leads down a road. It gives a road. Here's the problem. It opens the door to, you know, I always felt different, and then it opens the door to, where is this catalog? I'd like to know I'd like to meet this chap, you know?
Right.
I really feel like there is no upside with a bunch of downside.
So just leave it at never.
But the genetic whatever side is something different. I just look, you guys have every excuse in the world, which is he had cancer as a boy in the sperm production. And
yeah, but why didn't you tell me sooner?
Oh, no. They'll never find out.
Okay. So
that's okay. The part.
All right.
That's the part.
I don't object to that.
Good. I have more pragmatism.
Yeah. Like Blue Apron, also pragmatic. That's
super.
Right.
Yeah.
Number one for fresh ingredients and recipe delivery service. It is the number one, less than $10 a meal. New recipes, they create them every week, and they are not repeated within a year. They guarantee you it takes around 40 minutes or less to produce these wonderful meals, such as the upcoming beef teriyaki stir fry with lime rice, baked spinach and egg flatbread with sautéed asparagus, 3 cheese and baby broccoli stromboli. It is as good as it sounds. Delivery options to fit your needs. No weekly commitment, so you only get the deliveries you want and ask for. All right, check out this week's menu, and you will get 3 meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/ADS. It's the only way you're going to get that special offer. Again, it's a this when you go in and check out the menu, you can get three meals for free with free shipping at blueapron.com/ADS. Again, Blue Apron, number one, less than $10 a meal, delivery options to fit your needs, a better way to cook.
All right. We're talking last show about setting up the sort of pragmatic dude who's arguing with his wife over nothing.
The engineer dude.
And resenting. And I said, I have a fair bit of that. Mm-hmm. So I have it. I have the crazy pragmatism, and I don't want to talk about anything
that doesn't have pragmatic import.
No, I want to. I hold on. I'll talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills for half an hour. I don't care. But when it comes to solving a problem, there's pretty much one or two ways to do it. It's sort of like building. Here's a way to do it. Moving on. Hmm. Learn it. Move it. Next. What's next? That's my thing. With nothing really attached to it more than like to move on to the next, like to tackle the next problem. But my feeling is this. Life is basically a conveyor belt of hurdles, and I would like to see how many of them I can get over before I land in the grave.
And it's a great way. It's an inspiring way to think of life.
I should do greeting cards, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, just inspirational quotes.
Mm-hmm.
So forget greeting cards.
Should we put an eagle soaring over a majestic lake?
And
with that underneath it?
And what would it say?
Well, that's what it would say. Life is a series of hurdles, and I like to get over as many of them as I can before I land in the grave.
Good. Perfect. I want to see the eagle sort of making a dive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my plan, but I don't want to get stuck arguing over the one hurdle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't want that one hurdle to come back again all the time. I'd like to just clear it, move it. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
That's my thing. What's your thing?
As far as how I'd like to pragmatically get through life?
Mm-hmm.
My thing, I'm more worried about emotional speed bumps.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like I don't feel it. So many emotional speed bumps are kind of unnecessary. Like, really?
What's that mean? Unnecessary?
Well, they're I don't know. They're echoes of the past, or just people being dramatic, or I don't know. There's so many things that can just be processed and moved on from that people get stuck in.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. So my thing is I don't like speed bumps. It's strange you asked me that. I'm sort of feeling depressed right now for some reason.
Hmm.
I can't even explain to you why.
Okay.
Maybe my mother's thing or something. But that's why that kind of thing occurs to me. I feel like I'm in a speed bump for no good reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk to Kevin, 30, from Wisconsin. Kevin?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man. What's going on?
Hey, so I'm a relatively healthy guy, but the other day I had to go to the dentist, and they found out, like, I had the first time been there in like 7 years, and they found a bunch of cavities, and I got to get my wisdom teeth taken out, and I kind of had this a crippling fear of injections and needles and stuff like that. And Drew, I was just curious if you are familiar with any therapies to work around that kind of thing and get over it, because it's...
Well, I'm sure there are exposure therapies out there in terms of being around needles, but in terms of being penetrated by needles, that's a pretty, that's a tall order. I think it's more about learning that you can tolerate. A lot of those fears come from way early when it hurt a lot more. I mean, you're being stuck with a needle now doesn't hurt as much as when you were four.
Yeah,
right.
And if you can get some sort of numbing or nitrous or something to really block you, or an anxiety medication, I think it's quite reasonable to do something like that and to ask the dentist for it.
Yeah, they numb it up now topically, and then they do it, which is really
nice.
It's
not even really a fear of the pain at all. Like I've had injections.
Needle.
I know they don't hurt at all. It's just, I don't know. It's like... It's almost the fear of the actual reaction. Because, like, when I was a kid, probably in my, getting my vaccines around, like, 7th or 8th grade, like, I took the injection just fine. I was nervous about it, but it took the injection fine and then walked out of the office and, like, just fainted at the elevator, like, just for no reason. So it's just, I don't know.
Yeah. Right. I mean, well, tell the doctor you have a tendency to have swooning, vasovagal reactions to the needles. And some people just get that. I mean, they do. And you're fearful you're going to pass out again. So what if you pass out? You'll be in a controlled environment. Doctors, the dentists will be prepared for it. But I do think you ought to ask them for something to block some of your reaction. Because if you learn that you can have these injections without the big, powerful, you know, anticipatory reaction, it tends to make it more tolerable, potentially.
Oh, we talking about taking a pill?
Pill or nitrous or something the dentist can do.
Why don't you take half of whatever?
But talk to the doctor about it, because I don't know what, you know.
Yeah.
You don't want to be.
I seem to recall, by the way, now the dentist will give you an Ativan or something take it before you come in for the wisdom tooth.
Sure.
And then, yeah, why not?
Okay.
Kevin,
that's something I would just be able to talk to the dentist
about. Yeah, I would.
Oh, why not? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. And as Deacon Jones would say, he or she should know all about this.
You know, the Deacon Jones thing.
I find when I go upside a man
or woman,
old woman's head, they blink their eyes. And that gives me just enough time to either get around strong side tackle and sack quarterback or make through the front door, get through the entry hall, and get to my van.
So, you know, I've been talking about how physicians have created the opiate epidemic for a long time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some people got people's attention, and they're mad at me for saying that. It's like, no, we have created – physicians created the epidemic.
Nobody's mad at you.
But let me just say, physicians have created the epidemic in the 1890s after the Civil War. We did it. And then
you did it. What was 1890?
It was when sort of morphine came in and they were dealing with Civil War pain and stuff and trauma. And they thought they were eliminating suffering. And then they created addiction. They'd never seen it before. And all these opiate addiction developed. And then they try all these goofy things to try to treat it with cocaine and heroin and all kinds of stupid shit.
Right.
And then the Harrison Narcotic Act came out of that because it was originally to prevent doctors from giving opiates to treat opiate addiction. That was the original intent of the Harrison Narcotic Act. Then it got reinterpreted in a different way.
But who's giving you crap?
I guess social media. But hang on. I want to make a point. There's just simply no – it's just factually the case that we created the epidemic. We overprescribed opiates. Pain as the fifth vital sign was a stupid thing. We did it. Then we cut patients off, and then they went to the streets, and that's where they got the heroin and the fentanyl epidemic going. We caused that. It's a direct line from what we did to what's going on now. But
yes.
I don't have opiate phobia. I don't have benzodiazepine phobia, which I'm being accused of. Somebody like Kevin wants to take a benzodiazepine. That's perfectly appropriate. I mean, it's miraculous that we have that medicine for
him. Bennies, man.
But Tom Arnold, who I just did a podcast with, where he came clean about the fact that he's been strung out on benzodiazepines, that could have killed him.
Since when?
I didn't ask him how long he was on it, but he just got treated for it and is now out.
So, Drew.
And Chris Cornell, dead, never been on those medicines, ever. What?
Never been on those medicines?
Should not have been on those.
Should never have been. Okay.
Yeah.
One thing you've come around on a little bit is the whole time I was doing Loveline. Yeah. Well, this is in the early years. You're talking about people on a Vicodin and a 50-day, 100-day. And I said, well, isn't this a windfall for the drug companies? And you're like, they're not. No, they don't like this. But I was like, but it's so much of their product is moving.
They were duplicitous in that respect, but they weren't doing it. You heard me talk about it 15 years ago.
I didn't think they were nefarious. I just think it was basically, it's like, I make Charmin and they're TPing the principal's house every night, and I'm not going to be the one to tell the kids to stop.
Yep.
They're taking my product and chucking it across a tree, and it takes a week to use up a roll, you know, when people use it properly in the bathroom, and they can use it up in 20 seconds when they chuck it at the principal's house. So, you know, it's a guy makes Charmin, just don't say anything. Don't endorse it.
It's interesting.
But just don't say anything. And I sort of said to you, isn't that. Huh? And you kind of went, no, that's not then. But I feel like you've come around a little.
It's interesting to me that 15 years ago, I saw this coming, and I saw that it was me and my peers doing it, right? That's there it
20
was.
20 years ago, I said the drug companies are turning a blind eye to this.
And what I was aware of then is they were not really even – it didn't seem to me that they were a part of this whole thing. But I'm sure they were duplicitous. I'm sure of it. But
well,
they weren't causational.
I say to people all the time – no, not causational.
Yeah.
Duplicitous in the sense that
they just up their price.
If you're selling, you know, an average human being under whatever the standards are. Hey, average human has their teeth pulled. The average human gets into one car accident that requires medical attention. An average human being has 1.7 broken bones or dental surgery or whatever. So the average human being, me over the course of my lifetime, would take 11 Vicodin.
Yeah.
Now you got one guy taking 11 in the morning to get out of bed, and I'm the guy who makes Vicodin. Well, that seems like we're up in production.
Yeah.
And that's where the duplicitous part comes. Yeah. Okay.
How about the pharmacists?
How about the pharmacists? If only they spoke English, we could yell at them. True Car, at least the ones in Los Angeles. Shopping for a car, make sure you're getting a real price on actual inventory. People, they configure cars online only to find out they're not available. Oh, the heartbreak.
Painful.
Painful. Real pricing on actual inventory. Not pricing offered by True Car, but pricing from an actual True Car certified dealer. Over 3 million cars sold by over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. True Car's users save an average of $3,000 off of MSRP. So, when you're ready to buy, don't just wander onto a car lot. Oh, they see you coming. You look like a big old pork chop in those cartoons where they're trapped on an island. Nope. Go with True Car. Whether you're ready to buy new, you're ready to buy used, it does not matter. You go with True Car. Find out what other people are paying and enjoy a more confident buying experience at True Car. All right. Live shows. You go to AdamCarolla.com. Caesars Palace Vegas coming up Thursday, July 13th. Everybody's going to enjoy that show.
Everybody.
You go to Corolla Drinks. Say hi to Lynette there. No safe spaces. Tomorrow, last day. It ends tomorrow. So go to nosafespaces.com. Check out the videos. Just check them out. I think you'll really enjoy the dynamic of me and Dennis Prager. Dr. Drew?
Go to drdrew.com. Check out the family podcast there. And support the website. We just sign up for the contact list. We need you. We need you in there.
All right. And Reasonable Doubt Town Hall. That's Thursday, July 20th. Tickets at adamcarolla.com. Me and Mark Garagus in his restaurant. On stage. So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
The Corolla Drink Seattle Bar Crawl is sold out. But don't worry, you can still party with us at the Showbox Soto Lounge. Saturday, June 24th. Lynette Carolla, Ray Oldhoffer, Jay Miller, Gary, Kalen, Dylan, Nick, Dawson, plus Loxy. And I'll pick up all your pieces. Loxy at the Showbox Soto Lounge. Plus, special guest, Moon Darling. Tickets and more information at CorollaDrinks.com. Get your tickets now for Loxy and Moon Darling Saturday night at the Showbox Soto Lounge at CorollaDrinks.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.